This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, July 2nd, 2021. I'm your host, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Tim Gettys.
Happy birthday to the king, Blessing Adeoye Jr. You love to see it, man. You love to see it. A whole year older, a whole year wiser. Very, very proud to have you on the show with me today.
Appreciate you, Tim. I'm honored to share a birthday week with you.
Yep, it's awesome. A good week. Cancer season, baby.
Cancer season is started, and with that, I got myself some cake.
Oh yeah,
well, hit up the one and only Greg Miller, so we can have our birthday episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily. Oh shit,
I love it.
What kind of cupcake is that?
Moose must eat the other ones. I don't know, but it looks chocolatey, my friend. It looks chocolatey.
I got a cheesecake.
Oh my god! Is there any way we can see that, Kevin? Is there any way we can show the people?
Show us that cheesecake, Kevin.
I'm not gonna lie. It's just one step too many. Just know that I'm enjoying it.
I believe you.
I'm gonna enjoy this. I haven't taken a bite yet.
Okay, but, I'm gonna give a munch on this.
Hell yeah! I'm gonna give one bite. It's a chocolate cake that I got with a strawberry on top. Because Greg Miller knows. I don't know how he knows, but he knows that I love me some chocolate and some strawberry.
Let me give this a good. I'm going to give this the good thumbs up.
A strong good thumbs up. Now that I'm 27 years old.
Yes. Which. Wow, that is crazy, man. Yeah. That's how Kinda Funny works. All of a sudden, age just becomes this thing that just keeps changing. And then you're 5-10 years later, and you're just like, holy crap. I feel like it happened. Kinda Funny ages you quicker. Because in my mind, you're still 24.
I mean, same. Like, turning 26 or 27, I feel puts me in this different bracket in terms of how I feel like I'm supposed to behave, because I've always felt like I've had young energy, and I try to keep the young energy.
Me too.
And the young energy, frankly, is not going anywhere. And also, I apologize for people who are listening to the podcast who hate listening to people eat. You know, this is what it is, the birthday episode. I'm gonna eat my cake.
No, I'm God digging it. Yeah, keep going.
Thank you.
And for the people out there that like that, this is for you.
You're welcome. ASMR, baby. I've always tried to keep a young energy. That young energy is not going anywhere. But I also feel that I have this obligation to mature up. I don't know if you had the same thing when you guys turned 27, but I feel like 27, for some reason, feels different than 26.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think 25 was a big one, but that was because that was the year I left IGN and the Kinda Funny thing started, and that really forced a grow-up that I didn't expect. Also, that's when I met Gia. A whole bunch of things changed. You know what I mean? But 27, Bless, I feel it. This is your year. You've had great years, but this one's about to be the best.
Oh, the best. Do you have? What's your random advice for the year 27? What is the thing I need to do this year?
This year, you need to make the Blessing Show the best thing you have ever produced in your life. Something that you are so proud of, because you've already done that. But I know that you have been stewing in your mind and you're working on some stuff. And I'm not going to give away all the secrets to the people. But we've been talking about some projects that you're thinking about working on. And I am extremely excited to see them. And I think that this might be your greatest work yet. So that is what I want to see from you this year. That's the advice, is to just keep going down the path you're going, because you're kicking fucking ass and you're about to take over the world.
Tim, I appreciate that. I appreciate you. Thank you, everybody, for the birthday wishes. And Tim, I got to shout out your SmackDown bomber jacket. I shouted it out before
Thank you.
I got to make sure to shout it out on the show, because it is fresh as fuck. This is
the OG
this
SmackDown
is one of the
logo,
best
baby.
Looking KFGDs we've done in a while. Look at this. He's showing it off. He's turning around. Got the old school SmackDown logo on there. Wow. Hell yeah.
You're looking good too. The Polo King, baby.
Thank you, man.
Polos back?
I'm bringing polos back, man.
A lot of people are going to be like, Kanye. Oh, they never went away. Yes, they did. but Bliss is bringing them back, and I'm happy about that.
They did. Yes. But enough about that. Tim, let's talk about the next Dead Space being a remake, Rockstar's co-founder starting a new studio, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, You can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Here's the thing. Greg Miller did a phenomenal job with the chocolate cake with the strawberry. All right, Kind of Funny, I appreciate the fact that we are willing to put in the Kind of Funny Patreon money into getting us cake. I will say, I am jealous of Kevin's cheesecake. I didn't realize that Kevin got cheesecake, and cheesecake is my favorite dessert by far.
I mean,
cheesecake is on another level.
It's the best.
What
I appreciate, hands down.
What I appreciate about both cheesecake and pumpkin pie is that you can eat it or just suck it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You're exactly right.
I hate you.
I know exactly what you mean.
Why do you have to ruin beautiful
things? You slurp that thing up.
You slurp it up, guys.
You just slurp it up, and it's great. Housekeeping for you. This Monday, we are off for 4th of July weekend, so don't expect any shows to go live or live recordings to take place on Monday. Instead, PS Love You XOXO is recording this afternoon, so get your questions and write-ins in ASAP. We're talking about all the big acquisitions along with all the big PlayStation news of the last week, and also we're talking about Chicory, A Colorful Tale, and that'll go live at the regular time on Tuesday next week, but get your write-ins in as soon as possible.
I'm sure there'll be no breaking news that completely fucks up the episode.
Of course. Oh, yeah, not at all.
I got to ask, since when can beggars be choosers? I just got a haymaker from Blessing of like, hey, this is awesome. Good job, Greg, but it should have been a cheesecake. And then he moves on. That was it. It was like a cover. He did not need to put that out into the world on his birthday, but he did. Also, Tim, this is an amazing jacket. Where did you get it?
Thank you. Chalkline. They make a bunch of super dope stuff. If you're not familiar with Chalkline, they do really cool WWE stuff, Nickelodeon stuff, Power Rangers, Street Fighter, like a ton of licensed stuff. Very, very cool. Very loud bomber jackets. But I really appreciate, obviously, the colors of this. I mean, normally I have my Kind of Funny Games Daily Show colors here. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that. But no, today, actually, this looks pretty good. I'm going to keep it like this.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Hey,
looks
Greg awesome. Miller, you nailed it. This whole house is happy with you. Lots of people are going to be enjoying it.
I appreciate the cupcakes, Greg. This was fantastic. The whole
Denny's
household.
Yeah, you really only fucked it up with the birthday boy.
And I do like the cake. That's why I made the earlier clarification.
This was good,
shout out,
but it
could have
been better. That's great.
You know,
Greg,
you killed it. You know, I love chocolate cake. I love strawberry. I'm just saying that like cheesecake is my favorite of all time. So I'm just jealous of Kevin.
Year.
Is all I'm saying.
You got a whole.
This is great.
You got a whole year to stew on this. Is what I'm saying, Greg. By the time we get to July 2nd, 2022.
All right.
I appreciate it, though. See you at PS Love You. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Donovan Harkness and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Credit Karma, Freshly, and HelloFresh. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some birthday news. We have six stories today.
Baker's Dozen.
Starting with our number one, Tim. A little bit ago, a few weeks ago now, we had a report about a new Dead Space seemingly in the works over at EA. We got further clarification from Jeff Grubb at GamesBeat that this next Dead Space is a full remake. He put out the article over on GamesBeat. It reads like this. Electronic Arts has Star Wars Battlefront 2 co-developer Motive working on a new Dead Space game. Eurogamer and Gamatsu first reported the existence of the game, and GamesBeat can confirm parts of what each outlet has heard. While a new Dead Space is coming, Motive is rebooting the franchise with a full-fledged remake. I've reached out to EA for comment and will update the story with any input from the publisher. For its Dead Space game, Motive is taking notes from Capcom's recent Resident Evil remakes. Like Resident Evil 2 Remake, expect the next Dead Space to use the original game as a strong foundation. But it should also have modern visuals, and it'll likely bring in new gameplay mechanics inspired by other entries in the franchise. And speaking of Capcom, it is likely a major reason a new Dead Space is even happening. While EA has let its horror franchise wither, the Resident Evil series is larger than ever, and Capcom has provided an easy blueprint for EA to follow. EA has likely also warmed back up to the idea of producing single-player adventures after the success of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. The publisher has made statements in the recent past about shifting its focus to live service games, and that was part of a deliberate decision to invest less in single-player experiences following poor results from Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Developer DICE created Mirror's Edge Catalyst, and that game came and went for EA. The next year, DICE released...
That game came out.
Which, you know, it came out. Some of us played it. I beat it, and it was what it was. But that game came and went for EA. The next year, DICE released Star Wars Battlefront 2, which was even more of a disaster at launch. And yet, as a service, DICE was able to turn that game into a success over time. EA will still pursue in live service games, but now it may also turn to single-player franchises like Dead Space, Dragon Age, and Mass Effect to diversify beyond that business model. Tim, a Dead Space game that is taking inspiration from the RE remix, what does that do for you?
Everything. Yesterday, bless, Greg and I were doing Kind of Funny Games Daily, and we talked a little bit about the Dead Space rumors, EA rumors as a whole, and specifically like what we wanted to see from Dead Space. And Greg was talking about how he thought that this was going to be more of a reimagining of a like kind of like semi-reboot type thing. And I was saying that I would be most interested in exactly what they're describing here, which is essentially Resident Evil 2, Tony Hawk's 1 and 2 type remake, where maybe even some Final Fantasy 7 inspiration, not as off the wall crazy with changes, but like the idea of taking the core of what we loved so much about the original, but then modernizing it and making it, not just modernizing it and then making it prettier and feeling better to play with, but making it feel like a brand new video game in the way that Resident Evil 2 was debatably my game of the year that it came out, you know, the remake. And it's like, it was because of what it did uniquely, not just what it did to remake the original classic. So to me, this is perfect. This is a talented team working on a franchise I love, and there's an established couple years that we've had now of expectations for this type of remake, for them to knock it out of the park and for it to be an amazing standalone entry in these classic IP franchises. So very excited about this.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think this is a very exciting prospect. It's interesting and fun that video games have come such a long way to now we're at the place where we're going back, reaching into the bag of older classic games and making them new again in a way that is unlike any other medium, right? Like RE2 Remake, for me, jumping into it as a new game, right, felt like a completely new game. That didn't feel like I was playing a classic game. That didn't feel like I was playing the original RE2, which I would often start up, be like, oh, wow, this is old, and then peace out from. The fact that you can take something that's old, make it brand new, and make it stand out in that way where, cool, yeah, like, we don't have to worry about old video game standards. We don't have to worry about archaic systems. We can inject newness into this and still maintain the excitement and hype and nostalgia people have for the original, meanwhile polishing up to make it something brand new. I think it's really cool and really awesome, and I think we're gonna continue to see more of this, right? We've seen it from Resident Evil, we've seen it from Mass Effect Legendary Edition this year, which wasn't as dynamic of a, hey, let's rearrange this thing, but still added enough to the Mass Effect games that made them feel modern enough that they were a blast to go back to and play. And we talked about it a little bit with even Silent Hill, with the rumored stuff with, or not rumored, but the report that Bluebird Team is working with Konami to work on one of their franchises, right? Like, if that's a Silent Hill remake, that could be a perfect fit. And so, like, I think this would be a phenomenal idea, and I think a lot of people would look forward to something like this.
Absolutely. I mean, you brought up that, like, this is a uniquely video game thing. I think that in this moment in time, it definitely is, with the unique factor being the quality, right? Movies do it all the time where you see kind of remakes or reboots or whatever it is. But it's funny because when you look at Hollywood, there were so many movies from, like, the classic, like, old school era of, like, the 40s through 70s where movies were made. I'm not even say 70s, 40s through 60s probably, where there were movies, but then the 80s and 90s remade them. And we didn't even know they were remakes. So many movies were classics in the 90s that actually were reimaginings of older movies, and those became classics. Whereas then we hit this point in the early 2000s where those 80s and 90s movies are being remade, and more often than not, that's not good, right? And we saw that a lot with video games too, but it's kind of been the reverse, where I think that a lot of bad video game reimaginings and reboots kind of got out of the way, and now there's an understanding of how to do it. And I think that there is this unique thing to video games where they've aged differently. Like, movies have been around for, you know, decades on decades on decades, whereas video games are still relatively new. Having said that, we're getting to a point that we have had multiple generations of consoles where we're talking about Resident Evil 2 Remake, right? That's a PlayStation 1 game from 1998 that got brought into the modern times. Dead Space was a 360 game.
Yep.
Right?
Like that game is barely over a decade old.
But even saying that, it's a decade old. It is now two generations ago in video games. So it's like there's just what a classic game means has changed and is going to continue to change, where all of a sudden there's going to be retro means something totally different than it used to mean because time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the exact thing that I think is uniquely video games, is the fact that video games age in such a different way than something like film, where, yeah, we get film remakes and we're like, you know, oftentimes I'll watch a film that's a remake and not realize that it's a remake, right? Or not even care that it's a remake, right? Don't have the nostalgia for the original work because the original work would have been maybe decades and decades and decades ago. Whereas, to your point, Dead Space is a game that came out on the 360, right? Like, Dead Space is a game that I remember having friends playing when I was in high school, right? And hearing all about and watching reviews for, and I was still very much, you know, like, coherent and like I was into the video game space at the time Dead Space was coming out and was becoming a franchise. The fact that we're here and we're probably about to get a remake that is going to modernize it in a way that's going to make it a dynamically different game, but make it in a way where it is harkening back and pulling on those nostalgia strings that people who love Dead Space are going to get. To me, it's just such an incredible thing. It's such a cool thing. It's such a video game thing that you can do that so quickly, because things move so faster for video games in terms of what the standards are and what modern means, which I think is really cool. Do you think this leads to new Dead Space? Or like, actually, let me rephrase that question. What do you think this leads to in terms of the progression of Dead Space? Do you think we get a remake of Dead Space 1, then a remake of Dead Space 2, then 3, and then they keep going? Or do you think they remake the entire trilogy as one game and then move forward? Or what do you think they do here?
It's complicated because I think we have to look at this franchise by franchise, and there is no pattern that we can really look at, especially when we're talking about EA, which haven't really done this yet. But I think that when people are nostalgic about Dead Space, it's really the 1 and 2. There are people that like 3, but 1 and 2 are the ones that everyone really kind of leans on. I could see this end up being a remake of 1 and 2 as one game. I think the most likely outcome is it is just 1. And I predicted this for Resident Evil 2 remake, and I was wrong. So I don't know why I'd predict it here. But I can see them using this as kind of a new jump-off point for new sequels that are just sequels to the remake, not sequels to... that aren't remakes of 2 and 3. They're new 2 and 3s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like the Halloween movies, the current Halloween movies, where it's like, all right, the 2018 Halloween's a sequel to the first Halloween movie, but it's pretending all the other ones didn't happen, and now there's more sequels happening. I could see that going down, and I think that might be the best call.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any chance they do the direct Resident Evil thing that they're doing, which is, hey, let's remake Dead Space 1 and then put out a Dead Space 4 that is being developed or being co-developed, maybe developed by a different studio, that is the next step forward, and then we go back to remaking Dead Space 2. Do you think there's any worth in that?
I mean, I think that there is worth. I think that is the least likely scenario. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that
by the time we got to Dead Space 3, I know people did not like that game as much as the earlier ones.
Yeah, exactly. So I can see them. I mean, it's all based on the success of this and if the game is good and all that, of course. But I can imagine, I think the most likely scenario is either a Dead Space 2 remake after this, or like a la Resident Evil 2 and then 3.
Yeah.
Or just a brand new entry that is just a sequel to the new remake. Mm.
Tim, let's talk about story number 2. Rockstar's co-founder Dan Houser has founded a new studio. This is Chris Scullion at Video Games Chronicle. Rockstar co-founder Dan Houser has formed a new studio following his departure from the Grand Theft Auto maker last year. As spotted by users on GTA forums and French publication Rockstar Mag, last week Houser registered a new UK company called Absurd Ventures in Games, which was officially incorporated on June 23rd. According to his listings on Companies House, the UK's registrar of companies, Absurd Ventures in Games, Nature of Business, is listed as ready-made interactive leisure and entertainment software development, suggesting the company could be another game studio. However, on February 17th, 2021, Houser registered a separate company in the U.S. called Absurd Ventures LLC, as well as Absurd Ventures in Games LLC on the same day, suggesting the operation may not be limited to the video games industry. Parent company Take-Two announced in February 2020 that Houser was set to leave Rockstar on March 11th, 2020, following a, quote, extended break beginning in spring of 2019. The British writer, producer, and voice actor co-founded Rockstar in 1998 alongside his brothers Sam, Terry Donovan, and Jamie King. Dan Houser was a key figure behind many of the company's most successful titles, having written or co-written almost all of the games in the Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption series, as well as Bully and Max Payne 3. Houser's most recent titles, Grand Theft Auto 5 and Red Dead Redemption 2, have alone sold a combined 150 million units. Tim, what does this do for you?
Stir Adventures in Games is such an awesome name. It's kind of like us wanting to name kind of funny quality internet videos. Good for them. Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an interesting one. I wonder, when Dan Houser left Rockstar, name. I would have liked quality. What was that? Quality internet videos?
Quality internet videos. With
I would have loved that name for kind of funny.
Company name.
That would have been dope. That would have been dope. That's a missed opportunity right there. But like when Dan Houser left Rockstar, I assumed that I was it. I thought he was peacing out. I didn't think he would get back into it. So this is just interesting to see.
It is interesting. And I think a lot of it has to say, because if I remember correctly, when he left, it was very much a, hey, I've done a lot. I want to spend time with my family. Like this, you know, this is where I'm at in my life. And I think a lot of that comes with, especially with the last couple of years of how they've been. You kind of sit there and start thinking, okay, what's going to make me happy? And, you know, maybe doing this is the thing that he needed, where like he had a itch that needed to be scratched.
Yeah, that's the same read I have on it too, where you look at Dan Houser, you look at his position at Rockstar has been, and it has been writing, co-writing, you know, writing Grand Theft Auto games, Red Dead Redemption games, Bully, Max Payne 3, right? It's him doing voice acting work. It's him doing very creative things for Rockstar. And I can very easily see somebody being at a company for as long as he's been at Rockstar and being like, I feel like I'm at a standstill creatively. I feel like I am not doing as much as I want to be doing anymore, especially now that Rockstar as a company has grown from the PS2 era of doing what felt like was a billion games, right? Like a bunch of Grand Theft Auto games, Bully, Max Payne, The Warriors, Rockstar's Table Tennis for the PS3.
Hell and yeah. Doing
just a deluge of different titles going into the PS3 era, making a few less games, but still putting out, you know, a relatively decent output of games between Red Dead and others. But then you get into the PS4 era, and it's like, we put out Red Dead Redemption 2 as a new game, and that's it. And for what GTA Online is, you know, you imagine that a lot of the writing efforts at Rockstar are going into that specifically, because they're always making new expansions and they're working on new story content for online specifically. And I could easily see somebody at that point being like, I'm Dan Houser. I have so much ability to write, and I have like so much to give, and I'm stuck doing GTA Online, Red Dead, and now probably more GTA with GTA 6 coming someday, maybe in 2025. I can easily see that being the point where somebody is like, I'm burnt out, I don't want this anymore, peacing out, and then realizing, actually, I do want this. I just want to do this on my own terms, and then starting a new studio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to whatever this is. You know, I'm a big fan. I like the writing in the GTA games. I like the writing in Rockstar games, especially the classic writing in Rockstar games. I think it's great. And so I look forward to seeing what they put out. I hope it has some PS2 Rockstar energy. That's what I want. Tim, let's talk about story number three. Skyward Sword is getting a bunch of quality of life improvements. Thank this is God. Damian McFerrin at Nintendo Life. Thank God indeed. The Switch release of Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD, I almost said Breath of the Wild, is almost upon us. And Nintendo has already mentioned that this update will include several quality of life improvements over the Wii original. Today, the company has released a new trailer that outlines precisely what those improvements are. Here's the official word direct from Nintendo. You're getting optional help from Fi. Fi only Fi is the correct pronunciation of that, right? It's not like Fi. Fi short for Fiona. I never finished Skyward Sword, so I don't know what the like who.
It's
like,
Fi. It's Fi.
Okay, it's Fi. Cool. Fi only appears in cutscenes or when necessary, and can otherwise be summoned manually to provide advice or guidance. You're also getting enhanced frame rate. The game runs at 60 frames per second, resulting in smoother gameplay. You're getting a fast-forward dialogue option. Text shown on screen can be fast-forwarded by pressing the B button. You're also getting streamlined item information. Explanations for collectible items, such as insects and materials, only appear the first time the item is collected. Stop right
there. Stop right there, Bless. Oh my God. This just made Skyward Sword at least 1 point higher on every review scale. I can't believe it. This is it. This is such a great change. One of the greatest fixes in a remake of a video game of all time, or a port, or whatever the fuck you want to call this.
Yep.
Shout out to you. Thank you, Nintendo.
Yeah. Like, that is a godsend. That's always been, for me, a pet peeve of Zelda games. Like, classic Zelda games is that exact thing. And then Skyward Sword, for the little bit of play I played of Skyward Sword, that immediately was the thing that I noticed that got on my nerves. I was like, okay, I know what this rupee is.
I know.
I know how much currency I'm getting from this rupee. Please stop telling me. And so thank God. You're also getting skippable cutscenes. Cutscenes can be skipped by pressing the minus button. An autosave feature, and then skippable tutorial dialogues. The introductory player tutorials have been refined to be less intrusive. Tim, these are all great fixes. It feels like Nintendo is very self-aware about Skyward Sword and its faults and how to port it correctly. And so I'm all about this.
Yep, very interested in seeing the takes on this game, on this version of the game when it comes out in a couple weeks, because Skyward Sword, definitely one of the more divisive entries in the Zelda franchise, and I really am interested if people give it another, like, honest, fair shake and see where they come down on it, and I wonder where the actual quality of the game lies when you take away all these problems. When you solve that, it's like, okay, cool, what's left? You know,
we'll see. Did you play all the way through the original Skyward Sword when it came out?
Yeah.
What's your excitement level for this remake? Are you going to play through it?
I mean, I'm honestly not that stoked for it. It's just kind of like Skyward Sword was never my favorite game because of all the stuff, but also because of other things. I liked the motion control stuff. Like, I liked the up and down, left and right and stuff. Like, it never really bothered me. I just thought that there was a lot from the game where visually I was never really into the look of it, because I liked Wind Waker's look. I never had a problem with the cel shaded. I thought it was cool from the beginning. I liked the Twilight Princess look of the grim, dark, everything is Christopher Nolan style. Yeah. Skyward Sword just kind of felt like a weird in the middle watercolor thing that didn't have an identity that I vibed with, and I think was kind of then perfected in Breath of the Wild, where I'm like, oh, this is what you wanted Skyward Sword to look like, you know? Yeah. But I'm interested in it, just not excited for it, if that makes sense. But I think they're making a lot of really good changes here.
Yeah, I'm weirdly excited for it. You know, the original I tried out and I fell off of after quite a few hours, and I just did not like it. I didn't like the motion controls. I didn't like the a lot of the mechanics of it. I didn't like how slow paced it was. And it seems like the dialogue stuff and the skippable stuff that's being implemented is going to help a lot with that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, I'm weirdly excited for it to jump in. One, because it seems like there's going to be connections to Breath of the Wild 2. That could be really cool. Yeah. So I want to see that through. But then also, Breath of the Wild, you know, even though Breath of the Wild is maybe my favorite game ever, and I absolutely loved Breath of the Wild, it was a different Zelda game. And I've been having that itch to get back to something that is more classic 3D Zelda. And Skyward Sword seems like a good opportunity to do that. And so I'm looking forward to it for that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait for it. Tim, of course, people can go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where they can get the show ad-free. But guess what? If you're hearing this part of the show, that means that you didn't. So here are some ads.
This episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Credit Karma. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma money spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. When you use your Credit Karma money debit card, you can win daily instant Karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated, member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Our next sponsor, ladies and gentlemen, why it's Freshly. Dinner time can be chaotic, but with Freshly, it's easy. Their chefs take care of your meals a few nights a week and take the pressure off of you. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door, no cooking required. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week, so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip the trip to the store. Ordering is easy. Visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, satisfying, better-for-you meals like steak peppercorn, sausage baked penne, or chicken pesto bowls. Ladies and gentlemen, my father's birthday just came and went, and guess what I got him? A subscription to Freshly. Each and every week I go in and pick the 6 meals that'll be delivered to his door, and he loves them. They're easy. He doesn't have to think. He just gets to come home, pop the food in, and have a good night. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off their first 2 orders when you go to freshly.com/games. Stop stressing about dinner. Go to freshly.com/games for $40 off your first 2 orders. That's freshly.com/games. For $40 off your first 2 orders. And our final sponsor of the day is HelloFresh. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in about 30 minutes. Try HelloFresh's quick and easy meals, 15 to 20 minute dinners, breakfast on the go, and more easy options that are perfect for your lifestyle. Of course, you know I love to cook, and one of the things that got me cooking, of course, was programs like this. You don't have to worry about going to the store. Everything comes to you. You make the meals you want. You learn some new cooking techniques. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go to HelloFresh.com/KFGD14 and use the code KFGD14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/KFGD14 and you can get 14 free meals plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Get live.
Tim, I want to try the strawberry.
Oh, berry it up, Wes. This is your Kevin, day, man.
Kevin, how's the cheesecake, by the way?
I'm like deep into Lucho's. What is this? Chili Killies.
Breakfast burrito?
No, Chili Killies. I went to Chili Killies. Every once in a while, you gotta get the Chili Killies. So, like, at the moment, I don't have the like mind share for it. But like, probably at midnight, I'm gonna go to it with a spoon, and just I can already
just
tell
hack
it's
that
good.
Thing.
Yeah, I can already tell it's good. It's like a cute size, you know, where it's like if I ate it by myself, I wouldn't feel too guilty, but I'm gonna share it. Don't worry.
Wait, what kind of cheesecake is it? Just plain
it's
cheesecake?
It's just a regular New York style cheesecake. It's beautiful.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All cheesecake is good cheesecake, and so that sounds appetizing right there. I'm all about it. Story number 4. Id Software is shelving Doom Eternal's invasion mode and is making a horde mode instead. This comes directly from their Twitter. Doom Eternal's multiplayer invasion mode, which would have let players invade other players' campaigns as demons, has been, actually, this is not directly from their Twitter. I definitely took this from an article, and so I'm going to copy and paste this into Google, figure out who I got it from, and then I'm going to cite them as I'm going through this. I got this from Polygon. It's from Polygon. Doom Eternal's multiplayer invasion mode, which would have let players invade other players' campaigns as demons, has been shelved, according to an update from Id Software executive producer Marty Stratton. Instead, Id is focusing its efforts on a new single-player horde mode for Doom Eternal and a refresh of battle mode, the 2v1 multiplayer experience that pits 2 player-controlled demons against the Doomslayer. This part is from their Twitter. Quote, "As many are aware, we intended to release a free invasion mode update for the game. However, the unforeseen consequences of the pandemic and remote working impacted the progress of development for this edition. However, this time, or actually over this time, we've also seen and heard how many of you enjoy the range of gameplay and combat available in the expansions and master levels. With these factors in mind, we have decided to redirect our focus from invasion mode to creating a totally new single player horde mode. We're confident this horde mode will offer you more of the diversity and challenge you're looking for in the game. In addition, the team continues to work on a refresh of battle mode that includes a more competitive rank-based structure, a number of gameplay and balance updates, and another new map. We expect to share more information at QuakeCon in August." Go get them. Tim, did you play Doom right when that came out last year?
No.
Oh,
no,
you didn't.
I played maybe an hour and a half of it. The intro was fucking awesome.
Oh yeah. Doom is incredible. I missed out on some of the DLC, but from what I see and what I hear, the DLC is pretty all right. But
I was getting my ass kicked too much, where I was just like, oh shit. And also it was right when Ori was out as well.
It was a lot going on at the same time. It was Ori and it was Final Fantasy VII Remake. That's what it was.
I was on that. And then also there was Animal Crossing, which I wasn't on, but
yes.
Never forget.
There was
last year. Human
Animal Crossing came out on the same day.
Same day, man.
Yeah, dude. That was the spring. Like that's a pretty underrated spring right there. That was a good time. We reviewed all those games pretty much in a row, and that was a great gaming time.
We reviewed those games as the world went to shit. It was like literally we reviewed Ori at the studio, and then we reviewed Doom Eternal. Doom Eternal was one of the first pieces of content we made working from home. It didn't even have video. It was just audio.
Yep, I'll never forget that. That was such a wild time, but at least we had video games to help us with the transition.
Exactly.
Which is hilarious. You know, like I'm always a big fan of developers listening to the audience, getting a feel for what people actually want and actually enjoy, and then shifting with that. And this seems to be exactly that. And so these all seem like exciting changes. Go get them, Doom Eternal. Story number five, there's a cool new game from Flying Wild Hog. Kevin, I got a link to the reveal trailer for this game. It's a game called Space Punks that I watched the trailer of this morning, and I was like, you know what? We're talking about this on the show because this game actually looks pretty dope. I'm pulling from Matt Perslow at IGN, who writes an article titled Space Punks is Diablo meets Borderlands from the Shadow Warrior team. It reads like this. Jagex and Flying Wild Hog have announced Space Punks, a cartoon-style action RPG set in an irreverent sci-fi world. The announcement comes in trailer form, which shows off the game's four playable characters. First up is Duke, a Star-Lord-like handsome spaceman with a minigun. He's joined by three as-of-yet-unnamed friends, the Crazy One, who is a pigman with twin blasters, the Smart One, who is a sort of mantis-like alien who can warp dash through enemies and deploy bomblets, and the Scary One, a woman with shadowy tentacles that can sprout from her back and stab enemies. While the visual style immediately calls to mind Borderlands, the game is played from an isometric perspective and seems to share some common ground with the likes of Diablo and Path of Exile, just with a lot more guns. There appears to be a looting system with brightly colored items, and each character seems to have a variety of abilities alongside melee and ranged weapons. It's a co-op action RPG set in space with zany characters, then, and aside from a website, playspacepunks.com. For now, that's as much as we know. Jagex, the minds behind RuneScape, is on publishing duties while Flying Wild Hog is developing. The Polish developer is best known for its frantic first-person shooters, Hard Reset, and Shadow Warrior. It is also developing Evil West, which appears to be Goth Doom from the trailer. Kev was just showing it a minute ago.
Yeah, it looks game like looks really cool. Divers.
Yes, that's what I was going to mention earlier. That the article says Borderlands meets Diablo, but when I watched it, I was like, no, this seems like Borderlands meets Helldivers, which is a Greg Miller special right there. If I've seen
absolutely, that's cool as hell. Yeah, it looks pretty rad.
Yeah. I definitely want to try that out when it comes out. I don't think it has a release date or anything yet, but looks really cool. I love the work that Flying Wild Hog has done on Shadow Warrior. I know, shout out to Emmett Watkins Jr. He's the biggest Shadow Warrior fan I know. From playing a little bit of Shadow Warrior, the game seems really awesome, and as a dev, they seem pretty cool. So,
Bless, as a little birthday present to you, Kev, can you bring up what I just slacked you? A couple weeks ago, Rami Ismail tweeted a trailer for a video game that blew my mind, and I made a note to myself to watch it on Games Daily the next time I was on with you, and I kept forgetting. But now it's your birthday, and so let's just watch this trailer together, everyone. It's a minute and a half.
Is this a joke? Like, is the quality a joke really, in this?
It's really blurred out.
I don't know why it's so bad.
It's so bad.
Oh, I've seen this one.
Oh, it kicked in, Kev. It should look better now. It sounds better, at least.
It looks slightly better, yeah. Yeah, so this, for audio listeners, this is a...
Oh, no.
It went back to pixelization. This is a game that basically looks like Pokemon.
Just let it play out. It's okay.
Pokemon with guns and labor.
So that's the thing. You watch this, you're like, oh, this looks like a Pokemon ripoff. Like, that's kind of cool, I guess. And then as the trailer goes on, it just gets more and more insane.
Why do they have guns?
What
and like
the
they're
real
looking
happening?
Guns that look like a submachine gun.
Like, that's obviously Gyarados.
Without any fox, you know.
And they fuck.
And then it turns into a third person shooter. Using a merit, what is based the merit as a shield, and they are really gunning each other down in this game, like really gunning each other down.
Look at this, they're slave labor freaking Pokemon making guns.
What the fuck is this? That's an Electabuzz.
They're using what looked like an Electabuzz as
Electabuzz Gengar.
Electabuzz Gengar as third person like cover.
Oh my god! Oh my Did you god. See that? They Hold just on. Killed an entire ocean.
Nintendo is going to sue the fuck out of these people.
Power World.
But it's funny because like I definitely would love to try that. You know, like that seems weird, but also I feel like I might be able to enjoy that.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely that's for sure insane. What they're going for. They're going for the shock factor, and let me tell you, it's working a little bit.
Yeah, I'm blown away. Kevin's blown away. I'm shocked as fuck.
Kevin sold. Pow World. Yeah, you love and or hate to see it. I can't tell. Last news story for you, story number 6. Don't expect Dragon Age or Mass Effect at EA Play this year. BioWare tweeted this out yesterday. Quote, "We're hard at work creating the next at Dragon Age and at Mass Effect games and have some exciting stuff coming to SWTOR this year. While we won't be showing anything at EA Play Live, be sure to check out our SWTOR, that's Star Wars The Old Republic, live stream at 12 p.m. Pacific time today for info on what's to come." And so, not surprising, but you know, it's good that they're keeping our expectations in check for what to expect at EA Play Live. And looks like the SWTOR fans are going to be having a great day.
That was yesterday, right?
That was yesterday. Yeah, so I have no idea what they talked about. But
okay.
Was it good sweater stuff, Kev?
Did you check out the
sweater stuff? I don't know. Like, I come here for that sort of news, but...
I mean, I'll be honest.
I'm just, it could be the biggest
sweater breaking news, and I don't think I would report on it. Unless they're changing the game dynamically.
I know you don't watch the show clearly because this was a breaking news story yesterday, so it's not a big deal.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, not the sweater stuff. The breaking news wasn't this. The breaking news was the Dragon Age and Mass Effect stuff.
Yes. Gotcha.
But the news for the sweater is Star Wars The Old Republic will celebrate 10 years with Epic Legacy of the Sith expansion. The critically acclaimed MMORPG will mark a milestone. They're doing some stuff. Cool.
Cool. Go get a sweater. Tim, very excited to see what this sweater stuff ends up being, but the actual expansion release is probably just so far away. It's probably not. They probably said when it is, but I don't care. If I wanted to come out to mom and pop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do. Yeah. Out today, we got The Procession to Calvary for Xbox One, Treasure Hunter Simulator for Xbox One, Epistory Typing Chronicles for the Switch, Mythic Ocean for the Switch, Colossus Mission for the Switch, Revolved and Co. for the Switch, Food Truck Arena for the Switch, Best Day Ever for the Switch, Stormfront The Mutant War Ubel Edition for the Wii U, and then Super Destronaut DX2 for the Switch. That is an eclectic release date.
Three things that I want to talk about. First, Food Truck Arena. I don't want to see a trailer. I just love that as a concept.
Yes.
Second, I don't know that there's a game that I want to play less based on its name than Typing Chronicles on the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't do anything for you? Dude, I read Typing Chronicles and I was like, yo, let's fucking go. That's a Game of the Year contender right there. I'm about to play the shit
on the Switch?
Oh, man. With the touchscreen? There's a touchscreen, man.
Okay, great. That's the ideal typing experience.
You're being really silly, too.
The beloved Switch
touchscreen that everybody enjoys to type on.
But then the last one I want to bring attention to is Stormfront The Mutant War Ubel Edition coming to the Wii U. And I want to bring that up obviously because it's coming to the Wii U. That's hilarious. But also Stormfront is spelled Stormfront. Why is there a U? Is it because it's the Ubel Edition? U-B-E-L? What the fuck's a Ubel? I don't know, but I'm Googling it.
I've been Googling it too.
Ubel.
Because I want to get to the bottom.
Man, it means evil. It means evil in German.
Yep. Oh,
could have guessed that one. Could have guessed that one, Tim.
Evil edition. Interesting. Well, how many copies How many copies does this game sell on the Wii U? 13. I'm going to go with 13. 13. Yeah. Whoa! Holy shit. Do you know how many numbers exist? Like infinite.
Do you know how many numbers exist?
There are infinite numbers and we said the same number.
You know 13. What's funny, Les? You know what's funny? I know why we both did it though. Because there were why? 13 million Wii U sold.
Oh yeah, so I guess that makes sense. I guess,
it was just
I guess
in there. It was in here somewhere, and we just had that moment. Oh, I love that.
You both reached into the bowels.
I love that you're just like there are unlimited. Do you know how many numbers are out there?
Oh, there are so many numbers in the world. We both chose the same one. So go get them, Stormfront. It's still gonna be a high seller on the Wii, though. I mean, given that, I actually do want to look.
They
up
sell 13 copies. That'll be what top 10 highest selling Wii U titles.
Oh, I mean, of the week at the very least, yeah. I do want to check out what Food Truck Arena is, Kevin, if that's possible. Because that sounds wild. And that sounds like a game that I'm either going to really be into or that's not going to be that great whatsoever. And I got to know which.
I'll get in there.
Appreciate you. Do your thing. We have one new date for you. The Witcher Monster Slayer, a free-to-play location-based ARRPG released on both iOS and Android on July 21st. How are we looking on a food truck arena?
I don't
understand
why. Like, you know, things take time. Just relax.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what? I'm in my mind, we had more new dates so I could have spent more time there, but then we only had one.
I love this.
It does go great. I got to be honest.
Oh, my God. It's like Rocket League with ice cream trucks and pizza trucks.
Food trucks. Yeah, but you're right. That's exactly what it is.
This is Rocket League. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But instead of it has half pipe ramps or quarter pipe ramps instead of like the full arena vibe. Oh wait! Holy shit! This just took a twist. So it is Rocket League, but it's Rocket League from a different like from a top down perspective. Down. Oh, that's lame, dude. They were almost there. I was almost hyped for this. This still does look a little bit fun.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I would try this out.
It looks horrible though. The little cinematic was like, oh, okay, this looks decent. Then you look at this, you're like, it has big mobile game vibes.
Yeah, this has huge mobile game vibes.
Because like, it looks like there's projectiles that they got characters for the.
Did that pizza truck just?
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah, it's shit all over the
mozzarella.
Place.
It shitted out. Like marinara.
Yeah. There's a hibachi food truck by our new office. And I'm really excited to someday go get hibachi food truck. That sounds fun.
What is hibachi?
Oh, yeah.
Is hibachi like...
What's that one spot that everybody likes?
Is it Benihana?
Yeah, Benihana. Like...
How the fuck is that a food truck?
Hold on. So, like, I've driven by it a bunch of times. You know how normally they just have, like, a little window? It has a giant window, and it looks like there's a big-ass grill in front of it. I think the dude cuts it up and does, it like, a little show for you right there.
That is incredible.
I'd be so really down cool. for.
Oh. That sounds super cool.
So that was a really weird trailer, though, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
did you see that one of the features was they have girls?
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was like, what the fuck?
In a food truck, I don't even. Video games.
Yeah. Yeah,
video games, you're cool, but sometimes you make me question things.
Yeah, sometimes you get weird. Tim, people can go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where they can get the show ad free, but they can also write in with their questions. And now their gamer confessions, just like Emmett Watkins Jr. did. Emmett Watkins Jr. writes in with a longer one and says, what's up, Blim/Tess? First off, happy belated and current birthdays to both of you. I'm so glad to not only be fans of you both for years, but to be lucky enough to know you both personally. Proud of how far you both have come and can't wait to see how bright your futures will be. But enough mushy stuff. As a gift for your special days, I'm offering myself up to be roasted for my gaming confessions. I have several, so feel free to skip around or save for a post show. If you guys want to read all of this at all. Lord knows I have way too many gaming travesties to list, but enjoy the ones I do. Have a great show and day, you two. And then Barry Watkins Jr. busts out a list for us. We have time, so we're going to go through this list, all right? Tim, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
He starts off with this. I haven't played a single game in the following franchises: Metroid, Diablo, StarCraft, Silent Hill, Pokemon, Kingdom Hearts, Civilization, Warcraft, Splinter Cell, Fable, 2D Mario, and several more. Tim, what does that do for you?
2D Mario? How? How have you not played a 2D Mario game? I don't think that that's possible. Like, I understand if... No, I don't understand if they're not your vibe. I don't understand that at all. So, that's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, like, look, this is a fairly shocking list. However, mm-hmm. a lot of this seems very PC-based, where I think a lot of people kind of have some of these glaring omissions that people would be shocked about. But, yeah, like... And even then, Silent Hill, like... To be honest, isn't that big of a franchise. Like, people love it, but it is pretty niche overall. Kingdom Hearts is one of those things where, you know, I'm not surprised. You either are in or you're not. That is definitely a game of its time where it's like, yeah, if you were a 13-year-old in 2013, you fucking played Kingdom Hearts. But I'm sure there were a ton of people that just never jumped on that train. And then, yeah, Splinter Cell, like, if you weren't an Xbox guy at the right time, like, there's a chance you just never got in and then didn't have a great entry point. Pokemon, I don't know. Did you have a Game Boy? There's a lot of questions here, but this 2D Mario is the one that I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah, 2D Mario, I feel like, is a very difficult one to avoid. But for the rest of these, I think these games speak to their audiences. Like, these are games with big fan bases that die hard. Like, Kingdom Hearts is a game that... The Kingdom Hearts fan base is die hard for Kingdom Hearts, but Kingdom Hearts is also not a game where I'm like, everybody must have played Kingdom Hearts. It's like, no, the people who love Kingdom Hearts have played Kingdom Hearts. Same with Civilization. Same with most of these games. Like, I'd say you're fine here. You're fine for the most part here. The second confession is this. My first Metal Gear Solid game was Metal Gear Solid 4, and I didn't understand why it was so highly loved and have yet to find the motivation to play the earlier titles. Now, that is a travesty.
I mean,
that is a travesty.
You did this wrong. Like, that's Metal Gear Solid 4 is only good if you've played the ones before it. Like, it is just such a, and even then it's divisive, but like, it is to me such a satisfying way to just tie up loose ends and answer questions.
It's like watching Endgame without
100%
watching any of the other MCU movies, like, where absolutely. You go in there and you don't get any of the feeling, right? Like, I think you can probably break down Endgame as a standalone movie is like not a 10 out of 10, right? There's some glaring issues in that movie when it's taken out of context. In context with the rest of the MCU, it's the fucking greatest thing of all time. Totally. That's MGS4.
Absolutely.
But like like Metal Gear Solid 5, like the game plan that's so good that you could, right, get in there and not like care about the story and still feel.
Yeah, but we're talking about 4.
No, I know. I'm just making sure. I'm just making sure that our
stance. Yeah. I mean, to be clear, Kaz. 4 is the only one that I would say is that way. Like, I think all of the other ones are not endgame level. They're more like, you know, Ragnarok level, where it's like you can jump into 2 and it's fucking awesome. You can jump into 3 and it's fucking awesome just as a standalone. Where it's like,
thank you for starting with 2. Like, I know you did that for me.
Oh, 2 is fantastic.
That. Oh, I did that
two
for Kat.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Emmett's next one is this. The only Final Fantasy I've played is the demo for Dissidia 1 on PSP. And a sequel, which includes the first game. That's the only one I purchased.
I mean, that's pretty funny, too. I mean, Dissidia is hype as hell if you're a Final Fantasy fan. Like, it was definitely, like, the first real crossover between all of them. And the cutscenes and shit were awesome. But, yeah, I mean, again, that's fine. There's a lot of good Final Fantasy games, but...
Yeah, I don't think that one. I'm not going to shame you for that one, Bear. I'm not going to shame you. Next one is Breath of the Wild is the only Zelda I've played, and I didn't enjoy how slow-paced it was. I still prefer Immortals to it, and I've long considered Darksiders 2 to be my favorite Zelda game.
Well, you can't consider Darksiders 2 to be your favorite Zelda game if Breath of the Wild is the only Zelda game you've played.
Yes.
I mean, I guess you can, but it's like, all right, well, it's a weird take.
Here's my thing. Breath of the Wild is one that I people have different tastes. It's a teach their own kind of thing. I still get shocked when I hear people say that they liked Immortals more than Breath of the Wild, but I do know that is highly a preference of the Ubisoft open world formula versus like the Nintendo mind state when they were making Breath of the Wild. Like, people like that structuredness, I think, of the Ubisoft checklist model of an open world. And how that feeds into Immortals. And I think that goes a long way into making that game work for the people who didn't like Breath of the Wild. That said, Emmett, you're wrong, and you know, I'm ashamed of you, but
I mean, some people prefer Pepsi over Coke. You know what I'm talking about?
Fucking monsters, yeah. God.
But like in this case, Coke is like objectively better than Pepsi in this case. Like objectively.
I mean, I think in every case, Coke is objectively better than Pepsi. That's hands down. God, Andy pisses me off.
Emma's next confession is this. I've played every Call of Duty since Modern Warfare in 2007, but Infinite Warfare, the most infamous entry in the series, is my favorite. Now, this is an interesting one. This is what I've never heard anybody say.
Well, to me, I'm interested by this because I wouldn't say Infinite Warfare is the most infamous entry. I feel like it just kind of like it was there, but like
I feel like Ghost was lower regarded
totally
than Infinite Warfare.
Yeah.
Also, Infinite Warfare had a campaign that people really liked, right? That was the one where you went to space and shit.
Kit Harington and all that stuff.
Yeah. If you liked it, I mean, if you liked it for the campaign, I think you're fine. The multiplayer, you know, play some Black Ops, man. Expand your horizons a little bit. Play some Black Ops. And then the last confession goes like this. There are several mediocre or bad games that I think are legitimately great, including The Club, Kane and Lynch 2, Singularity, Prototype 2, Dante's Inferno, Binary Domain, Time Shift, DMC Devil May Cry, Warhammer 40K Space Marines, Guns Up, Dead Island, and several more.
When I think of Emmett Watkins Jr., I think of many things. I think of the first event Kinda Funny ever did as the full Kinda Funny, which was MomoCon back in 2015 when I first met him. And he was a very positive force then. He's a very positive force now. Of course, I remember him from the epic rap battles with you going into prom. Also, I think of this level of games. Of course, he loves these games. Evan Watkins Jr. is a perfect example of the swimming in sevens, baby. Like, just have fun with video games. Like what you like. Yeah. He fucking likes what he likes, and he's unabashed about it. And of course, you think about PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. So there you go.
Of course. Anything of Saints Row 4, which I believe is his favorite game of all time. You know, like I look at this list of games that you think are legitimately great, and I judge none of them. You know, like I had a fun time with the time I spent playing Dead Island. What was the other one I saw here? DMC Devil May Cry. Like, I don't think that game's not a bad game. No, it just wasn't a traditional Devil May Cry game.
That is a great game, honestly.
Yeah, I think out of all these, I think this is the one that you should have the least shame for. In fact, all your confessions here, I think you're fine. You know, I think these are fine opinions to have. These are fine takes to have. Emmett Watkins Jr., I think you're in a good place, and you have maybe eclectic taste, but also it's fine taste.
No, he has taste of somebody born in a very specific time. Everything he just said here says everything you need to know about the era he lived in. You know what I mean?
I mean, he didn't like Breath of the Wild, and so I don't know if I can be all the way with you there. But I'm saying
it's like, you know, there's so many different generations that are nostalgic for like the random off the beaten path games. Like, how many times are we going to hear a certain group of people talk about Vanquish? We know, we get it. This is now that level of a different era of people talking about freaking Prototype 2.
Emma Watkins Jr. closes out by saying, "That's all I can think of, but try to go easy on me if you please," and then runs for cover. Happy Born Day, y'all. Emmett Watkins Jr. Emmett Watkins, thank you so much for the write-in. You got nothing to be ashamed about. Go live your best life.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to squad up. Mick writes in with a squad up on Xbox and says, "Been gaming since the 70s, and now thanks to Game Pass, I've picked up my first Xbox in 20 years and fired up SSX. As fun as that was, I'm thinking I should try and use my new Super X powers for something a bit more current, perhaps even dive into some of that modern multiplayer like Sea of Thieves. But to do that, I need some new old school friends since the ones I had from my Jade Empire days are long gone. I'm based in Europe, so I'm looking for some classic gamers who fit that time zone and also love stress-free gaming. If you want to play some Sea of Thieves with Mick, you can add Mick on Xbox with the username OG Mick Law. That is OG space Mick Law, all one word. Go have some fun, sail the seas and Sea of Thieves." I have a segment for one of those rotating segments. This is a required reading. I'm pulling from Rebecca Valentine, who wrote an article over on IGN titled "Why Indie Publishers Are Fed Up with PlayStation." I'm going to include the link in the show notes and everything so you guys can go click over. It's a long article, and so I'm only going to read a small snippet of it, but I encourage everybody to go read it because it's a very important article. We did not have time on KFGD to tackle this one, but we are going to talk a lot about it on PS Love You, and so check that out there. But the article starts off like this: after a console generation which it seemingly abandoned indies in the face of overwhelming success of the PS4, it appears that Sony's struggle to court small developers is far from over. A group of indie publishers have taken to Twitter this week to express their frustrations with the console giant, pointing out issues like its lack of communication, frustrating bureaucracy, issues with discoverability, and severe limitations on when and how games can be put on sale. The conversation was kicked off by Neon Doctrine co-founder Lane Garner, who wrote a Twitter thread criticizing, quote, Platform X, which he said was a, quote, very successful console and does not have Game Pass, end quote. Garner's thread, which has been quote tweeted by several indie publishers at the time of publication, affirming many of the issues he lists, criticizes the so-called Platform X's tools, communications, and interests in supporting indies. He calls out a lack of transparent processes, poor communication, an extremely limited ability to discount games, and an inability to get games promoted on the store without either obscure or expensive methods. Again, Rebecca Valentine got into her bag. She wrote a whole article. It's a longer one, but it is 1,000% worth the read. And so go over to IGN, give her the click, and tune in to PS I Love You, where we'll talk about this in the PlayStation updates. Tim, people can go over to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where they can write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on listening later on podcast services around the globe. Let's see here. We got clarifications that we already got. Let's see. That doesn't count.
We killed it, Blast.
Yeah, we killed it. Yeah, no,
like
yeah,
always, no, man.
We have no actual year wrongs here. Big Bad Beluga does shout out that it is also Barbara Dunkelman's birthday. Happy birthday, Barbara Dunkelman. Big shout outs
to Barb, man. Gotta love it. Twin.
Gotta
me and
love
Barb
it.
Are 2 days apart.
That way, like you guys are both
like,
the same
like
age.
Like actually 2 days. Like
that's wild.
Both in 1989. Mm-hmm. Really
that's
crazy.
Awesome.
Born in the same hospital.
Same hospital. Not Whoa. True at all. Not true at all.
That was a lie.
She's
that was a lie.
Definitely from Canada.
Yep. Greg hit me up and said wanted me to pull this up earlier, but I didn't see the message till now. So I mean.
What's this?
Greg,
oh, is this Xbox dunking on him? You can click that Xbox feed at the bottom right there. Of course, Greg wished me a happy birthday on Twitter. And then I responded back, you know, thanking Greg and all that stuff. And then Xbox came through and they wished me a happy birthday. And they said specifically happy birthday to the actual Halloween King. Thank you so much, Xbox. I appreciate that. Shout out.
But then, Kev, we can't read it. Can you read Greg's tweet and then Jason Trier's, please?
I subscribe to Xbox Game Pass, and this is how you treat me. At Jason Schreier, I got your next story. Big old game company bullies beloved internet personality. And then Jason Schreier responds, I don't see Xbox bullying blessing.
Get him!
God damn.
God damn.
What a fun
start. Really man. I love him to goddamn death. This ain't his week, man. He's getting dunked on left and right.
Thank you so much for the cake, Greg. I really appreciate it. Is it cheesecake? No, but it is cake, and so I appreciate it nonetheless. Next week's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily go like this. On Monday, we're off for 4th of July weekend. Tuesday is Greg and Gary. Wednesday, it's me and Andy. Thursday is Greg and Tim. And on Friday, it's Greg and me. If you're watching this live on Twitch, after this is Doki Doki Literature Club featuring Mike, Nick, and Joey. So get hyped for that. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, till next time, Game Daily.